In other words, what was so remarkable about me that Washington was being troubled with me at all? Where was the important report that had been talked about by Captain Fairbrother? Since it didn't exist, I had to invent it. I explained that I had gathered an immense amount of detail not only about the slave traders, but about those in Britain and America who were behind them, supplying them with funds and ships, and organizing their abominable activities under the cover of legitimate commerce. All this, I explained, I had committed to paper as opportunity arose, with such documents as I had been able to obtain. I had consigned one report to a reliable agent at Wider, and another to a second agent at Roatan. No, I dare not disclose their names except to my own chiefs in London. A third report I would certainly write out as soon as I could. A rueful smile here, and a reminder that life for me had been fairly busy of late.
"Yes, yes, sir," says he. "This is excellent, and very well in its way. But you are obviously in possession of information which must be of the first importance to the United States government. Information which Her Majesty's ministers would obviously communicate to us. You have names, you say, of Americans who are behind the slave trade. Now, sir, here we have the root of the thing. These are the men we must bring to book. Who are those men?"
I took a deep breath and tried to look like a man in mental struggle, while he and his fellow inquisitors waited, and the secretary sat with his pen poised. "Mr. Moultrie," says I can't tell you. Please, sir, let me explain. I solemnly checked his outburst. I have many names. I don't know much about American public affairs, sir, but even I recognize some of them as, well, not insignificant names. Now, if I were to name them to you, now, what would they be but names? The mass of evidence that will lead to their proven involvement in the traffic in black souls is already on its way to England. Obviously, it will be communicated to you, and these people can be proceeded against. But if I were to name names now, sir, I stabbed a finger on the table, you could do nothing. You would have to wait on the evidence which has been assembled. And while I trust your discretion perfectly, gentlemen, we all know how a word once spoken takes wings. Premature disclosure and consequent warning might enable some of these birds to escape the net. And believe me, gentlemen, I gritted my teeth and forced moisture into my eyes. Believe me, I have not gone through the hell of those Dahomey raids and watched the torture of those poor black creatures on the middle passage. I have not risked death and worse in order to see those butchers escape. Well, it wasn't a bad performance, and it took them pretty well aback. Moultrie looked damn solemn, and his pals wore the alarmed expression of men in the presence of a portent they didn't understand. Then Moultrie says,
"Yes, I see. Do you suggest that, when all is known, there would be a political scandal, perhaps?"
I gave my mirthless laugh. "I may indicate that best, sir, by assuring you that among the Britons whose complicity in the traffic I can prove are two peers of the realm, and one whose name was, until lately, to be found among Her Majesty's ministers. And believe me, sir, that the American names include men of comparable stature. The profits of the slave trade are immense enough to tempt the highest. Judge whether a scandal may be expected." He was regarding me round-eyed.
"Mr. Cumber," says he, "your knowledge makes you a very dangerous young man."
"And therefore," says I, smiling keenly, "you would say, a very endangered young man." I was almost believing myself now, so I wasn't surprised that they took it in. They announced that they would discuss matters with the British ambassador, and in the meantime I would hold myself ready to go to New Orleans to testify against the Balliol College. I didn't fancy this at all, but again, there was nothing to be done. And later that day, I was hailed to the ambassador's house, a very decent old stick. I told my story for a fourth time, and that evening, when he bade me to dinner with him, I went through it yet again for the entertainment of his guests. And I'll swear I didn't put a foot wrong. But there was one man at that table, with as keen a nose for a faker as I have myself. How he saw through me, I shall never understand, but he did, and gave me one of the many nasty moments of my life.